In 99, he presented a new image of John Housum. You became chairman and chief executive officer, and he was president.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was beginning to be in the front office and taking over.
Well, I was sort of training him for it. You know, I was getting up there where I knew at some point I'm going to get out of this. Been in it back then, what, 50 years? And kind of gets a little old. So, yeah.
Your company was named a National Relocation and Real Estate Magazine list of 250 power brokers, recognized by Real Estate Trends Magazine's annual broker list, which identified the company as among the top 1% in the nation.
I think that's right, yeah.
Nice compliment to your career.
Yes, it was.
I would say real estate was very, very good to you.
It has been good to me, yes, it has.
But it was hard work, wasn't it?
Yes, it wasn't an 8-to-5 job. There was many a Sundays I would go to the office around 12 o'clock and be there because there was no one hardly in the office. And I could get a lot more done in 3 or 4 hours on a Sunday afternoon than I could 2 days in the office with interruptions and people coming in and all.
Well, you obviously had the charisma to be a leader and to make sales, so you had two things working for you. When we think about South Tulsa, and you saw it grow, 31st, 41st, 51st. I'm in your home right now. You're out here in about 101st and Memorial area. That must have been something that you thought would never, ever happen, or did you?
I don't think I ever thought about it. I mean, really, I can remember when my uncle, Jay, Dad's brother, worked for Danzner. He built a house at 42nd and Harvard. This was back in the late 40s. And I remember my dad asking Jay, he says, why in the world will you build a house way out there? The bus stops at 41st and Harvard. I mean, that was way out. So, yeah, I can remember cow pastures all over this area out in here.
You didn't know, but a speculator might have thought, we ought to go out there and buy land. Mm-hmm. Did you think about doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And did you?
Mm-hmm.
Where were you buying south?
Well, I bought some in Broken Arrow. Bought 85 acres, me and another gentleman. Bought 85 acres there at 21st and Elm there. It's right where the expressway cut through it eventually. Split it, which is good. We made a lot of money off of that because we bought it for nothing. Back then, bought it. It was nothing. And then I bought a 10-acre track over from the high school, 51st and County Line. It's on this side in Tulsa County. It's on the corner there. The big high school and grade school is across the street, south of it. So it'll go. That's a good location. They've built some apartments over there now, and it's got a golf course back and a housing addition behind it over here. Those are the only two that I have right now.
Oh, you still have that land?
Mm-hmm.
What was developed on it?
Nothing.
Nothing.
They're vacant. The one in Broken Arrow, the big theater down there that they've got in Broken Arrow, if you come down to the street, the 32 acres we have there backs up to the expressway there. Right next to us, I've just got the information on the zoning there, trying to zone that acreage, just butts up to us and goes this way for a development. So that piece of land's a good piece of land. We had an offer on it, and the guy backed out at the last minute because they were actually going to put a research store in there. This is about 2 years ago, and I guess grocery business wasn't doing too good. Some of these other stores have come in, and they backed out of the deal at the last minute, which is fine. I don't care. It's not going anywhere. One thing about land, it doesn't go anywhere. Usually it goes up.
Some of the best investment is land.
Oh, I think so. If you get the right land, right place.
And if you need to borrow, it's great collateral.
The thing about land is it's not something you're going to turn overnight. If you're not in a hurry, it's just a good investment. I mean, you can take a piece of land and pay, back then, $80,000. Keep it for 10, 15 years and sell it for $3, $4 million. If you can see the development going around it.
Were you able to do that?
Well, we haven't sold it, but we will. We're not in any hurry.
Getting ready to make a big sale, maybe.
If not, my kids can have it. Let
right.
them worry about it.
Right. How many children did you have?
Three. Two boys and a girl.
And their names?
John Lewis. You got Stephen Mark and Terry Lynn.
Did they go into real estate, the other two?
No.
Schools often play a role in selecting a house. Isn't that true?
Yes, it does.
Was that the case back in the 50s and 60s?
Oh, it's always been the case, yeah. I mean, if you've got kids, you're going to look at the areas that the schools are in. If you have a particular school, and some people don't care, but a lot of people do.
I remember coming to town in 76, and it was Jenks, and boy, everybody wanted to be in the Jenks school district. You remember that, too.
Yeah.
Now they've spread out to Union and others, and, of course, Tulsa Public, too. Not everybody's fleeing the city, but they but they did there for a long time, though, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Condominiums, when did that concept come around? Was that in the 50s, 60s, or when do you think that happened?
I'd say late 50s. I might be wrong, but I'd say late 50s.
Were you able to sell the condominium?
Never got into them much. I wasn't into condominiums.
When did you turn the company over to John, your son?
209 or 210.
So then he merged with Terry Gartside and Sam Rader.
Yeah.
John Housam Realtors joined with Caldwell Banker Select and would operate under the Caldwell Banker brand. Doesn't John Housam eventually, under leadership of your son John, become a property management and leasing company?
When he did his deal with Sam Rader, we had a property management leasing company. It was very profitable, a very good company. And Sam couldn't take it because he had had a property management company, but a year or two before he sold his off, and it had a non-compete clause that he couldn't have a property management company or compete for 5 years or whatever it was. So JL took the property management company and stayed with Sam a year or two. I think their deal was a two-year deal. And then he moved over, kept the property management company, and he kept it running while he was with Sam, which was fine with Sam.
And that's what John does today, isn't it?
Yes.
And that turns out to be a profitable business. So he's not selling houses now?
No. Oh, they might sell a house occasionally, but somebody that has it leased and wants it sold.
But you started that yourself, didn't you?
Mm-hmm.
Why did you? Did somebody need to manage my house or whatever? How do you think you got into that business?
Oh, I got into it. We had a girl that worked for us, a young lady. She liked to do property management. She liked to do the management, so I just set her up as a property manager, started with that. And then it just went. She left, started her own company, and, you know, we hired some else. We just built it over a period of years.
Probably because, well, I shouldn't answer for you, but it's just kind of by attrition. I mean, you're around all these people with houses, and could you do this? Could you do that?
Occasionally, you'll have people that don't want to sell their house. Maybe they're being transferred to L.A. or someplace. But they know it's only going to be a year or so, and they're going to come back to Tulsa because they love Tulsa and will be here, and they don't want to sell their house, so they'll want to rent it. There's different reasons for why people will rent their houses.
And then when they're gone, you probably need somebody to manage that house.
Right, yeah.
So it just flows together, doesn't
it? You do not only the leasing, but you do the property management if they want it. You do the whole nine yards if they're out of the country or out of, you know, Oklahoma.
That had to be, for you, in addition to your real estate sales, a pretty good revenue generator.
That office was very profitable.